This show is for educational purposes only and is not personalized advice. Consult your tax advisor before taking action. All investments involve risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Read show notes for full disclosure.
Welcome to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast, where physician moms and dads like you can turn today's worries about taxes and investing into all the money you need for retirement and college.
Welcome to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast. I am Nate Reneke, certified financial planner and primary advisor here at Physician Family. Today, we are going to answer the question, how can physicians balance their health with their work and family lives? Balancing your health with work and family has and always will be a challenge for physicians considering their seemingly impossible schedules, but is important because your health plays an integral role in the longevity of your life and therefore your career. So today we brought on an expert in the topic of health to help understand how physicians can get healthy and enjoy a more fulfilling and long-lasting life and career. So our guest today is Dr. Hannah Brandt. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Nate. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yes, you got it. I'm excited to talk. We were just talking right before we clicked record, and I'm hoping that the audience gets a lot out of this to sort of make a change in their health if they need it. But also, it's a little bit selfish because I'm kind of turning into a health nut over the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm excited to talk to you today, even if it doesn't meet the audience exactly in the finance world. But I think it's important that physicians take their health seriously, and mainly so that they can have a long-lasting career. I mean, I know a lot of physicians want to retire early, but some come to us and they can't because of money. And they would like to just think that they could work longer. But the reality is either their health or their money gets in the way. So we want them to have the choice on when they retire and the choice on how long they work. Even if money isn't in the way, they want to just work longer because a lot of people we work with love being doctors. So I'm excited to have you on.
And I'm excited to be here. A great topic, since what you were saying is, you know, we see health failing some of our physicians, and it's not intentional. It's definitely it sneaks up on you. And sometimes you just end up so far down that path that you don't even know how to kind of course correct.
Right. That's a really good point. Or you look online and there's so much information, you don't know how to make heads or tails of it. It's the same in the finance world. Some video online gives you some crazy ideas and you're not sure what's right, what's wrong.
Now, you don't know if you need to start milking your oats and drinking your greens powder. It's a little confusing out there.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just start. Can you tell me what's your background and what has your journey been like getting started kind of in the health and fitness industry?
Absolutely. So my background started in healthcare. I graduated in 2013 with my doctoral degree in physical therapy, and I went right into outpatient orthopedics. I really enjoyed my line of work, but as like anyone in healthcare knows, you're going to have some patients who are just near and dear to your heart, and some that would rather be anywhere else than under your care. And it just kind of comes with the nature of healthcare. And that was kind of my end goal. I wanted to be a physical therapist, and I was, but I had always struggled with my weight. I was always active. I was an athlete. I really enjoyed sports. I felt like I ate healthy, but just could never really get my weight under control. And I ended up graduating with my doctoral degree. You know, you walk across that stage, they put a hood on you, they shake your hand, say, congratulations, doctor. I mean, they do the whole thing. And I was struggling with my weight. I just kind of felt a little bit like a fraud. Like, what can I not figure out? And it took me a moment to set my ego aside and realize that at the time, my expertise was not in weight loss and weight management. It was in rehabilitation. So I went on my own weight loss journey by hiring, at the time, who was a virtual kind of online health and fitness coach after I found a good fit. And I successfully lost over 60 pounds. And that was over a decade ago, eating real food, didn't have to swear off dessert, and I didn't have to take any sketchy supplements or drink any creepy concoctions either. And it really kind of changed my life. So I went and got a personal training certification, and that just kind of left me wanting more. So I also studied for 2 years to become an integrative and functional nutrition therapy practitioner, which is kind of what I do now.
That just reminded me. So I've also, I don't think I've ever talked about this. We've had clients that I've been with for 6 years, so they may have seen the journey. I've had some comments, so they've seen me go through my own journey, a similar amount of weight loss and a similar sort of story. It's like, I feel like I'm doing a lot of things right, but I'm missing something here. But I watched this documentary one time that essentially said it's hopeless. There was these physicians on this documentary who said that there's something like a 1% success rate of keeping weight off. And I felt totally defeated. And I went and got a trainer, and he kind of like calmed me down about the whole thing. And then I just went on this journey over the last, I think, 4 years, same similar story. And you realize that the reason that a lot of people don't succeed is that they're doing a bunch of fad diets, or it's like crash dieting and things like that. And they're really not getting much healthier other than just getting to a healthy weight and then kind of bouncing back. So I want to know, where do you see physicians, if they're really busy and they have a hard time kind of sinking their teeth into a healthy lifestyle, where do you see them fail in their goals to be healthier?
So great question. And first, congratulations to you on your own successes. I can see how that statistic really shocked you, and I see it a lot. So on average, you'd say about maybe 10% of people who have lost the weight keep it off for greater than 3 to 5 years. You and I both occupy that space. And so I actually wrote an ebook instead of saying what you need to do to lose weight is I summarized the 5 best habits that you see in successful dieters that you and I both occupy. Instead of looking at what the 90% is doing, which is the loud crash diets, it's what is that quiet 10% doing better than anyone? And we can parlay that right into your question on like, where are busy physicians really getting hung up in regards to like not valuing their health? And I was guilty of this for a long time when I was a practicing physical therapist, is I was waiting for a time when I was less busy, when I could really go all in and really commit my full self to my health and fitness journey. And then kind of hit you like a slap in the face. I'm like, I'm not getting less busy. I was a really good physical therapist. We had wait lists to get into our clinic. I'm getting more busy as time passes. So I need to learn how to navigate busy and come up with a realistic strategy that complements my health and fitness goals. Because at the end of the day, even when it comes to our patient care with our patients, we would all much rather have a patient be compliant with a suboptimal program in the long run than make them the world's most perfect program for whatever they're working on, and they can do it for a grand total of 90 hours.
That's such a good point. So what exactly, where are they getting hung up on sort of this long-term approach versus anybody can do, well, not anybody, but I've seen a lot of people have success doing sort of short-term programs, but where are they getting hung up as far as making this sort of a life change?
So a conversation that I've been seeing start to circulate a lot on the various social media platforms is people are bored. So the short-term strategies are exciting. It's the new cleanse. It's the new boot camp. It's this new food, it's very easy to stick to something when it is new and exciting. I mean, heck, probably it was as hard as could be, but your first year in med school is probably a little bit easier because it was still new and exciting than year 2 or 3 when you are just in the muck of it and ready for it to be over. And when it comes to our diet strategy, too many people they're honest and they say, you know, I fall off because it gets boring. My group program got boring, or I was tired of doing this. And like, well, if you look at the people who actually keep the weight off long term, we're the ones that are still doing the boring things. We are still drinking our water and getting in our steps. It doesn't have to be flashy. And I think, especially with social media, we're kind of under this belief system that it has to be new and exciting and flashy and have trending music and this be this like huge, exciting thing. When in reality, it's the boring basics that truly change people's lives.
That makes a lot of sense to me too. I mean, you see constantly like, what supplement can I take? What exercise can I do? And it's like, those are all cool and nice and exciting, but only gets you so far, and really probably best for like those specialty things, best for people who are doing the boring things first. We want to be boring, which is funny because in our, you know, advice, it seems like we give the same old boring financial advice constantly. And it's like, it compounds on itself. Fitness compounds on itself just like money does. So I get it. But for someone who's just starting out, what would be a couple of things that can get them on track and basically turn their life into, or their fitness journey into, a success in the very beginning? Like, what's the first thing they should do?
I'm so glad you asked, because this is one of my favorite topics. And I think this first step is too often missed. So let's even relate it back to patient care. The physicians listening to this podcast are great clinicians. They're going to have a patient come in who say, you know, I'm having shortness of breath, or I'm having some chest pains. You're going to do an assessment. Maybe you think they need some support from a pharmaceutical with their blood pressure. You're going to assess assess them first before making your recommendation on your plan of care. But when it comes to our weight loss and weight management, we are all too quick to all of a sudden say, I need to be exercising 5 days a week, 10,000 steps away, eat this much protein, or like set my calories here. When in reality, the entire assessment piece has been missed. You would never prescribe blood pressure medication without taking someone's vitals. Why on earth are you putting like kind of quote, unquote, prescribing a fitness regimen and calorie level without taking an assessment? So literally the first step is, without judgment, just get curious and start paying attention to what you're doing now. If you're realistically averaging 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day, setting your goal at 10,000 a day might not be the most wise from a sustainability standpoint. But what if you realistically think 4,000 to 5,000 sounds like a step in the right direction? Get curious. What does your water intake look like? How are your sleep habits? How much are you actually eating before you jump on the 1,200 calorie per day diet trend that really isn't sustainable? You need to know where you are first before setting caloric targets, protein targets, macronutrient targets. Too many of us are quick to skip the self-assessment, which is the first part of what we do with our clients, is we go through an assessment phase to meet you where you are instead of just shoving you into a diet without any information.
That's really good. That's powerful stuff, because what is it? Perfection is the enemy of progress. I'm with you on that. So I heard you say a few things, but I'm kind of focusing on step count and nutrition. So calories and water. What are some tools that people can use to start to assess themselves for that, for calories and step count?
I am all about ease and making things as efficient as possible. And we've never had more technology at our fingertips than we do this very day. So if you are wanting to be a little bit cheap and not get a pedometer or any sort of step tracker, leave your iPhone in your pocket all day and it's going to give you a general idea. It will tell you what your activity is. You can use an Apple Watch. You can get a Fitbit for under $50 nowadays. And now another popular tool is the Oura Ring. From my experience with, you know, Fitbits, Apple Watches, Oura Rings, I do feel like watch type pedometers underestimate your steps just a skosh. And the Oura Ring, I feel, overestimates just a skosh, considering I have gotten 10,000 steps sitting in this very chair because I talk very animatedly to my clients when I'm doing video feedback for them. So just get a step tracker. Let it tell you what your activity is. And then when it comes to nutrition, there are countless free apps. Probably the most popular one is MyFitnessPal, but you can hop onto Google and say free food tracking apps. And a lot of them come with a barcode scanner. So you can literally just scan the barcode on a package of Fritos that you happen to be eating and let it, again, tell you what you're eating. And I'm all about pen and paper. I literally have a pen and paper calendar. I will carry that with me till the day I die. I'm so old fashioned. But I do feel like when it comes to like tracking calories, pen and paper is just a little bit too much labor intensive. No one has the time or energy for that. So use the free apps at your disposal to tell you what you're doing. Now, and then when it comes to water, I left that one out. I'm not one for drinking, you know, 600 tiny little cups of water. If I can count to a smaller number, I choose that. So I have right next to me a big Stanley. I was gifted that for Christmas just recently. But get a big water bottle and see how many of those you drink a day. So it's way easier to say, I drink 1.5 large water bottles. That's a very easy number to remember as compared to, did I drink 8 or 9 of those little plastic ones at work? So if you can count to a smaller number, do that.
So the first step is an assessment, and you need, and I think that the basics are steps, your calories and kind of your protein, water. What about working out? Like for someone who, I've been through all the different types of workouts. I did the CrossFit, I did marathons, and it was all really difficult to figure out why, if you're working out like a crazy person, you can't get to the body composition or the weight that you're hoping for. So where's a good place to start? I guess either an assessment or just getting started in the gym.
Great question. And coming in, you know, as an orthopedic physical therapist, I treated too many injuries from just really well-meaning individuals who tried to use, you know, marathon running, CrossFit, various, you know, there was some program called Shred for a while, like various like intense body pump boot camps. Using those as a means to get into shape sets us up for an injury because it's too much too quickly. You get an injury and then you go back into the nothing works for me and I never got injured sitting on my couch story as a joke. And then it just kind of, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When in reality, those are all great avenues for exercise, but usually a little bit more appropriate for someone who's already in shape. So when it comes to starting a workout regimen, if you're someone who feels more comfortable with a group-led class, make sure it is for beginners. Or what my coaches and I typically do is we tailor make our resistance training programs for our clients. And if you are very new to the gym, gym intimidation is a very real thing. Many people are thinking, I don't look like the other people in there working out. I don't feel like I belong. And I really try and debunk that with nothing makes me more happy as someone who truly loves to lift weights than going into a gym and it is packed full of people I've never seen before. My first thought is good for you because it was harder for you to show up that day than it was for me. So good for you for doing the hard thing. And even simply getting into a sustainable resistance training program, either doing like full body 2 days a week, like do like a Monday and a Thursday, giving yourself ample time to recover. Get comfortable with just moving your body in that way over and over and over again. Stay with that same program for 6 to 8 weeks before trying to change it. Your muscles don't need confused. Nothing needs to be flashy like that. It's truly getting comfortable and consistent with proper form. And if you're a little bit nervous about free weights, start with those weight machines where you can do a chest press in a way that's, you're not using free weight dumbbells. There's so many ways that we can approach beginners. And when we're training beginners, especially in the gym, we typically lean more on the machines as compared to free weights because that's a lower intimidation factor. And then they start asking, I would love to get a couple more dumbbell-based exercises. Great, let's work those in. But it's really just starting with 2 or 3 days a week. If you are a blank slate, more than that is just not necessary. And then once you're comfortable with 2 or 3 days a week, then even 4 days a week at most is a great place. It is a rare moment where I have a client training intentionally more than 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just thought of this. I haven't been able to, because I obviously don't talk about fitness. Sometimes when people will ask me, like, what have you been doing? It's kind of hard because once I've been, now that I've been doing a program that's changed constantly with my trainer for several years, it's hard to tell someone that's just getting started what I'm doing in the gym because it would seem like too much for them. And this is kind of counterintuitive because I think with a lot of things in life, you look at the people who are successful in whatever they're doing and you try to emulate what they do. But you walk into a gym for the first time and you see some woman who's in perfect shape and you try to do exactly what she's doing. It might not be right for you. I haven't been able to kind of figure that out and how to tell people where to start. What are your thoughts on not copying what the typical, I guess, influencer or person at the gym is doing at that moment and starting where you're at with your journey? Like, what have you seen people attempt to do too much too fast or follow some diet or workout program that they shouldn't be?
Too many times to count. And I can definitely understand. I mean, I get the question all the time. I mean, the business I run now, really helping women with their health and fitness and weight loss and weight management, started because I lost an astronomical amount of weight and started getting asked questions. And was like, sure, I can help you. So people that used to know me hired me, and then friends of theirs would hire me. And then people that didn't know me started asking me questions. I was like, so I guess I do this now. And it just kind of like exponentially went off from there. But when I still to this day get the question, what do you do? I want to get what you got, what do you do? I say, great question. I'm so glad you asked. What I did when I was in your shoes. I rewind because like you and I both had a day one, and my day one looked very different than where I am now over a decade in it. And what I really like to remind people, especially one of my favorite things my clients love to do is I'm the one, myself or my coaches, where they send the Instagram reel, the post, the TikTok, and it's like, what is this? Do I need this product? Do I need to do this exercise? I love having those conversations and like kind of educating them how to like tease out the scammy things. But what I really like to remind people who are trying to lose weight when we're looking like where you're starting at the beginning is the beginning looks very different than 6 months in, than a year in, than 10 years in. So it's a mistake to look at someone who is already fit and copy what they're doing, because what they're doing isn't going to get them fit. They're maintaining their fitness level. Or a lot of times what I see with, like, especially females tend to really lean hard into cardio and doing a lot of running. And they're like, well, my friend who's naturally skinny runs all the time, so I started running. And I'm like, I understand the logic, but I'm like, if you're copying someone who is naturally in a leaner frame and that's just what they do for enjoyment, they didn't use that tool to lose weight. That is just what they do for enjoyment. So we can't use a tool that someone is using for maintenance or enjoyment and expect for it to work for weight loss for someone else.
That's really good. Yeah. So this sounds kind of difficult. Working out 4 times a week, eating right, getting your water and getting your steps in. It's a lot at first. And I think that a lot of people have the goal of just losing some weight. But I found through my journey that it has, and I think the reason people get so excited about fitness once they've had some success is that they see a ton of benefits outside of just losing a little bit of weight. So what do your clients say who have been successful in changing their lives? What do they say about the benefits of working out and getting in shape beyond just losing weight? Like, what are they seeing that's changed in their life for the better, so that maybe we can give everyone some hope about why we're doing all this and why it's worth it?
Such a great question. We could have a whole nother conversation on this, which is so wonderful. And I'm always the first to admit, I started my weight loss journey fully for vanity. I wanted to look better. And I say that unapologetically, because especially with social media nowadays, people seem to be almost shamed for wanting to lose weight from a looks perspective. And I will die alone on that hill. That is why I started this journey. But now it has stayed for everything else. And so what I see the most, when I never want to laugh at a client for this, but it always kind of makes me giggle a little bit, is when they start eating just more balanced meals and prioritizing sleep a little bit more, staying hydrated. I think some of my favorite feedback is, I didn't know I had brain fog until I don't have it now. They think clearer. They're more efficient at work. They don't have that afternoon slump where you have to have that second coffee just to get through the second half of your shift. They feel that they're like, I didn't know you could feel like this. People don't know that they are low on energy. Maybe their brain is a little bit foggy. You don't know, because that is truly your reality right now. And it takes sticking with it just long enough to see, oh my gosh, this is what the fitness people feel like all the time. You almost then kind of catch that bug. And of all clients who told me literally yesterday in her check-in, she is a PICU nurse. She was like, this doesn't make sense in my brain, but I'm going to try and share it with you anyway. And she was like, I came home from a really long drive. She was visiting family for the holidays. She got stuck in traffic. I mean, just everything that could have gone wrong on the travel did. And she's like, when I got home late at night, I was totally fine and willing to go to the grocery store and get what I needed so I could have some stuff to support me throughout my shifts through the week. She goes, when I was overweight, she's down, oh gosh, I think she's over 60 pounds at this point, right around that. She's lost a lot of weight. She's worked very hard. But she's like, former me, when I was struggling with my weight, would have resented going to the grocery store, resented having to run errands. She goes, I don't know how to describe it, but I find more enjoyment in just day-to-day things as simple as like running errands or cleaning my apartment now than I did when I was overweight. She goes, I carried more resentment and just lack of motivation to do anything. And she's like, it's truly just changed the way I approach all avenues. And it was just a really cool reflection that she gave me just yesterday.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that's the same experience I'm sure you and I have both had. So I want to, something that was beneficial for me from that terrible documentary that I watched that said I'm never going to be healthy for the long term, and they blamed it all on your genetics and all that. They said some statistic about how something like 90% of people won't stay in shape for, I think, 2 years. So I thought, if I can stay in shape for 2 years, then maybe I'll get over this hump. And I think it was just lucky that that is sort of what it felt like. And I found that once I had kind of hit that point, that 2 year, maybe it was even 1 year, the repercussions of falling back into my old ways felt way worse than it was difficult to keep up on my habits. So it was a lot easier to work out. It was a lot easier to get my water and to eat right, because the alternative was to feel really bad. I mean, like not feel like feel gross almost, like, oh my gosh, I feel sluggish all the time, or I don't have energy. And you're like, oh, have you been working out? No. It's like, okay, now it's almost like I have to do those things, which is habit building. And how long do you see before people, essentially, there's no going back? Like, how long do they have to be on program before there's a really good good chance that they have changed their habits and they're in this for the long haul.
I really start to see that shift for longevity around that 6 month mark. It doesn't take 6 months to see differences, to start feeling better. You actually get those pretty quickly. So it doesn't take that long, but I feel like when you're really looking at like long-term sustainability, when, like you said, it's almost easier to stick with it than it is to revert back 6 months, because you're in it long enough to see how good you feel. I was actually just even chatting about this with a client yesterday about dry January. That's a big common thing people do. And I say to each his own, you can absolutely enjoy drinks and your favorite foods in a very well-balanced, successful weight loss journey. Or if you want to hit the reset button and do a dry January from a place of empowerment, have at it. There's no right or wrong when it comes to it. But her and I were joking that we're like, you've never once heard someone say, I regret drinking less. No one ever really regrets that. And so I do think like right around 6 months of really starting to see changes, you start to get protective over how good you feel. I'm very protective as an entrepreneur over my energy and my sleep. And so I know even like a glass or two of wine with dinner is going to negatively impair my sleep. That's no myth. It actually does change the way our body has to process when we're sleeping. So when I wake up and I'm feeling lethargic, that's going to like list right into my day of not feeling so great. So once you start to see the benefits of like the better energy, improved mood, all of those things, you start to get really protective over that and you don't want to sacrifice it. And you know, we all have those YOLO weekends, girls trip, boys weekend, and they're fun. You let your hair down. But those, if anything, really serve as a nice reminder of why you do the things you do on a regular basis. Because you enjoy feeling so good.
Yeah. I'm glad you said 6 months and not 2 years, because sometimes I forget about my journey. But so just to frame that up, because that was a great answer. It sounds like if you can commit to 6 months, and I know you're a trainer and everyone probably thinks that I'm saying this because you're on the podcast. When people ask me like, what did you do? I go, get a trainer. Just get a trainer. You don't want to hear it from me. Doing it on your own hasn't worked for this long. And you don't have to have one forever, but it has been super beneficial for me. So if you can stick with what someone like you would recommend, get a trainer, have them stay with them at least for 6 months, then from there, you will start to lose things like people commenting on all your progress, because you've probably made a lot at this point. And it's like, they're not going to keep commenting for 5 years about your progress. But then all of a sudden, you have owned it and you'll get protective of just how great you feel. So it's like 6 months kickstarts the rest of your life, rather than trying to imagine doing something for 2 years is hard for people. So 6 months, and then you will probably enter into that 10% that you were talking about at the top of the call, where you're in it for the long haul. So that I really like that.
I totally agree. And I was having a conversation with, I typically do like a free healthy habit holiday challenge on social media just to kind of support women, just to get through a season that usually leaves people feeling a little bit, let's just call it like a stuffed sausage. That's one that I got from that community. And the conversation we had is I was like, there is literally no downside for you to eat more vegetables, drink some more water, and get some more walking into your life. I was like, there is absolutely no downside. You have no skin in the game and nothing but good things can happen. I was like, the worst thing that happens is you eat a vegetable that you didn't love the taste of, and then you never have to eat it again. And so I think so many people are just afraid to start. And sometimes we just need the reminder that like, there's no losing at this game.
Mm-hmm. Doing those fad diets for all those years and my family, we're all trying to figure it out. None of us know what we're doing. I've been doing this since I was young. I mean, I was overweight as a kid. And so it was really hard to change those habits because you just have no good examples. But I think that I don't necessarily regret trying all those different things, because when I tried them, in my mind, I thought, well, if this doesn't work, it's like, it's still better than eating pizza 3 times a week. Like, there's no way that eating these vegetables is going to be worse for me. And even if I fail, it's okay, you know, trying and failing. And then at some point, you have to bring in an expert. So that's what I did. And that's who you are. So that's a big reason for why we wanted to have you on today.
I love that. And I appreciate being on here. And I mean, especially with the physicians that are listening. I mean, I experienced this as a healthcare provider. I mainly did outpatient orthopedic, but I highlighted into acute care, is there's always an office challenge. You know, there's like various office things, and it's easier to do it when you have a support system. But when you look around, the people doing those office challenges year over year over year are the ones that are in a lifelong battle with their weight. And so I, like, kind of like we talked about earlier, is as a doctor of physical therapy, I had to hire a personal trainer, someone who had literally an online certificate to help me lose weight. Like, if that is not a blow to your ego, I'm not sure what is, but it changed my life. And I had to realize that, you know, like, that's why a lot of our clients are, you know, extremely intelligent healthcare providers. We get a lot of business owners. I actually also have a lot of finance executives. One recently spoke on stage in Vegas, and she said, I want to feel confident stepping on those stages. We work with extremely smart clients, but what we can't do, even as a very smart individual, is see our blind spots. We're too emotionally charged by what we're trying to accomplish. Like, you probably can't be a great financial advisor for your parents. You probably can't be a great physician for your spouse, because your emotion can cloud objectivity. So that's what we can do and bring in, is realize that you are so smart and smarter than us in your field, but we are smarter than you in this field, and we're going to see your blind spots. And hiring that support system was truly what changed my life. I struggled with my weight till about the age of 25. I sat in the doctor's office and they showed me the chart of my weight going up. And I'm like, that's not helping. I'm going to go eat ice cream later, because I was a kid and it made me feel bad. So, like, I so understand what it feels like to look down the barrel of a long weight loss journey. But like you said, trying something is always going to feel better than not ever once taking a chance on yourself.
Okay, so I want to know, what's, like, the one, we usually do a big takeaway at the end of our episodes. If you could leave our audience with one big takeaway, what's the one big takeaway you'd like to leave with busy physicians about their weight loss journey?
Great question. And I would just have to say, if you do what you have always done, wait until you're desperate, you have vacation in a couple weeks, and you do a short-term strategy to get as much weight off as quickly as possible, you will get what you've always gotten, is maybe some lackluster short-term results that disappear quicker than they came, leave you with an ongoing lifelong struggle with weight management. So if you want to change your story and actually feel like you lead a healthy lifestyle and enjoy a physique that you feel proud and comfortable in year round, you have to start playing the long game instead of always going for the short term, quick fad diet. You have to play the long game if you ever want to change your life.
So that's all for today. Until next time, remember, you're not just making a living, you're making a life.
Thank you for listening to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast. Are you getting all the tax breaks you really deserve? To find out, get your copy of the Overtaxed Doctor's Retirement Investing Checklist, available at physicianfamily.com/go.